Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, by rule, Seth and I just made a rule off the air. By rule today, we've got to play Jameis Winston audio at least once every hour. We'll do it in the next segment. Jameis Winston was phenomenal last night. Behind the microphone. He was pretty good on the field. He was amazing on the mic.
He made some really nice throws on the run. He was like 5 for 6 throwing on the run in that snow.
Yeah.
He's got that kind of, I love his, he's got like a clumsy athleticism, mm-hmm. you know, where it just doesn't always look quite, but he's big and he's pretty athletic, not by like, you know, super athlete standards or anything. But there's sometimes where he's running, where he does some really impressive things, kind of like when he's throwing. There's times when he does some really impressive things, and then there's other times where he does really weird things. But the sum total of it this year has been better than worse. It's not like old Jameis where he would throw 30 touchdowns, but he'd also throw 30 interceptions.
Yeah, you forget, or at least I forget sometimes, he was the number one overall pick in the draft in 2015. You know, like it's
right.
I forget about that sometimes, that he was, in at least one year, thought to be the best player out there that you could go get.
The most Jameis Winston-like play last night was hilarious. There was a there was a fumble and downfield receiver caught the ball. There was a fumble. Jameis comes down and tackles the ball carrier. But then when the ball carrier is on the ground, Jameis like tries to punch the ball out and does successfully punch the ball out. Of a play that's being whistled dead by no fewer than seven whistles. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, whistle, 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 whistle. He punches the ball out while there's whistles being blown, and then goes and tries to fight for the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
And you're watching, I'm like, wow, there's no offensive lineman running to his support. And then I realize, oh, yeah, it's because they don't know what they're seeing. So they're like, what? What's going on here? What is he doing?
He's the best. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We'll play some Jameis for you in the next segment. It was a fun Thursday night game last night, man. It was a good way to get the week started. It was a good outcome for the Texans. They are, you know, they're now a game back in the loss column of the Steelers, if you're thinking about seeding and things like that in the AFC. Texans got a real opportunity here this week and next week to win a couple games going into the bye week. And then, boy, that 10 days coming out of the bye week is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens. But let's eat what's on our plate for now. The Tennessee Titans. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, was on with us yesterday. And here is his scouting report on the Texans' opponent this weekend.
They're a good football team. Their record is what their record is. But honestly, when the ball is kicked off, the records go out the window. It's all about your execution. They have one of the best defenses in the league, top five in just about every category. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a pain in the ass. Like, he's one of the best players in the league, period. So he presents a lot of problems. Sweat's done a good job for them as well, kind of in his role. They got a good front. They really make you earn it offensively because of how they play defensively. And then offensively, I'd say Ridley's an issue. And honestly, the 1-2 punch of Spears and Tony Pollard. Pollard's a really good back. He's been very productive. He does a number of good things. And I would say, just when you look at some of the better teams in the league and what's kind of the margins, so turnover margin, you know, when you look at the top five, you know, those teams, and more, you know, amongst those teams, we're in the top, I don't know, six or seven, but we can do a better job of taking care of the football. And then it's going to come down to third down and red area execution.
All right. So that's the thumbnail sketch. We've talked a lot about Seth, and we'll talk here in a second about the offensive line for the Texans and the matchup with the Titans defensive line, which is their strength. Offensively for the Titans, what's the point total that the Titans would score where you would start to get disappointed in the Texans defense?
Oh, that's a good question, because Will Levis has been operating better, and yet they haven't scored a bunch of points.
Right. They're bad in the red zone.
17 points 2 weeks ago, and then 12 points last week.
It was 13 last week against – it might have been 12. They scored one touchdown, and it was a 98-yard bomb last week against the Vikings.
Right, yeah. So this is the thing I fear, is that they still are very capable of hitting these bombs.
Big
this
plays.
Is where the Texans have – the Texans, as good as they've been defensively in so many ways, they'll either allow the errant – deep shot, or just the red zone passing defense. They've allowed a lot of touchdowns. That's been the one area where they're just one of the areas where they're just not a complete and total lockdown. And that's like Calvin Ridley's been playing really well. He just hasn't been helped out enough by the quarterback play.
Yep.
I think you look at Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver, when he was in Jacksonville. You're trying to figure out last year, like, okay, wait, is this Trevor Lawrence's fault? Is this Calvin Ridley's fault? This year it feels more like, okay, this is the quarterback's fault. This is Calvin Ridley's open, and the quarterback, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Will Levis, hasn't been able to take advantage of it. So that's the big concern. If the Titans score 24 points, I'm going to be definitely disappointed.
Oh, I'm for sure, yes.
Yeah. No, if they score 17 points, I'll still be kind of like, this is really an opportunity for the Texans defense to step up and pitch a shutout or something.
Yes,
I'll be pleased with anything 15 points or less. I'll be like, okay, there you go.
I think that sounds about right. They beat them 26-3 here last year, if I recall.
Yeah.
And then the game in Nashville, that was the Case Keenum game that I think was 1916, I think was the score of that game.
So realistically, anything with more than one touchdown scored, I'm going to be disappointed.
There
so I'll
go.
Say they 13 points or less.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. 13 points or less.
I'm with you on that. That's my prediction's 27-13 on this game. You'll give your prediction in the final segment of the show, as usual, on a Football Friday. Let's get to some more Caserio here. Now, this was a question you asked Caserio yesterday about Slowik, and I don't think you phrased the question in a way where it was critiquing or criticizing Slowik necessarily.
I had said at the beginning of the question, I said, hey, Bobby's the first guy that'll point the finger at himself and point out where he would have done things differently. But then, you know, where are the areas where you feel like, okay, they've made improvements in the operation?
Right.
I didn't feel like I was questioning Bobby Slowik's commitment to the cause.
Right, and this was the answer from Nick yesterday.
Look, any coach, the give a crap factor is always very high. I'd say Bobby cares a lot. He cares a lot about the offense. He cares a lot about how we play. And honestly, sometimes Bobby's a little bit too hard on himself. I mean, Bobby's office is right across the hall from me. Like, nobody works harder than Bobby Slowik. So has a good understanding of what we're trying to do offensively, what the other team is trying to do on the defensive side of the ball. So all of us can look at ourselves individually, look at ourselves in the mirror, and there's always things that we can do better. Look, there's 1,000 things that I can do better. I'm sure if you ask my wife, she'll come up with a 2,000, page list, whatever it is. So I think all of us are accountable. We're going to take ownership. And when things aren't going maybe as well as you would have hoped, that's all you can do. Is put your head down and work, try to make some improvements, try to make some adjustments, modifications, and just put the team in the best position for success. So nobody cares more about what we're doing with this football team, especially offensively, and Bobby, and you see that on a day-to-day basis, and he's a great coach and we're lucky to have him.
If I had concerns about whether or not Bobby Slowik cared, I would be screaming at a fever. I would be screaming at basically and unlistenable to rage the entire time.
Yeah.
People couldn't listen to the show because I'd be angry all the time.
Yeah.
So that was, okay, he told me that Bobby Sloak's got a, he cares a lot,
yep.
Followed by a platitude about getting better as the season goes on, followed by the sandwiched with, hey, Bobby really cares a lot. Like, yeah. I know that he cares a lot.
Yeah.
I do think that they have made some improvements in the way they're operating, and they figured some things out with the reshuffled offensive line. And I think what they can and can't get away with in pass protection, Bobby's starting to get a feel for it. So, like, that's where I've seen progress. And the one big glaring thing from the beginning of the season was they couldn't even get a snap off early in the year because the offensive line had so many penalties.
Yes.
And then there were so many miscommunications and blown pass protections that were mental more so than physical. I can live with the physical errors. It's the mental stuff that was driving me insane earlier in the year, and I do think they've made progress there.
They've had just two, like, I don't want to say uncharacteristic because they've not been a great offensive line over the last couple of years. Like last year, they were a significantly more banged up offensive line last year. That's the crazy thing. That's the crazy. I guess that would be one of the concerning things about the offensive line is you really don't have the crutch of shuffling and inconsistent lineups and injuries to lean on. Because the one injury that you've sustained on the offensive line was one where everybody hated it for Kenyon Green personally. But you knew that the offensive line was probably going to improve by putting somebody else in at left guard. I'm not trying to be mean. That was the truth of the situation. Kenyon Green was playing a bottom of the barrel level of left guard for this team that was getting the quarterback murdered on a weekly basis. And so just to finish up, the crazy thing is, like, they had such a bad patch of penalties early in the year that was like a 3-week thing. And then they had such a bad patch of pass protection that was like a 3-week thing. It was like, I know they're not this bad. And they were that bad in those two areas for multiple consecutive weeks at a time. It was just very, very strange.
It was very strange. The thing that I haven't, and I still don't feel better about, and I'm really intrigued by this week's matchup, is the Titans interior defense. Well, really their starting line, they're a 3-4, so all their linemen are interior run defenders. They've got three guys who are really, really good against the run, and two guys especially in Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat that kind of just physically manhandle people at times. That's the big test for the Texans offense this week, is, all right, if you've made improvement and if this new lineup, it can be better than it had been before, we can't be having interior offensive linemen, you know, driven 5 yards into the backfield on run plays, like meeting Joe Mixon at the handoff spot, like all that stuff. I just want to see improvement and growth versus a really stout defensive line.
Where do you think Bobby Slowick is right now on the head coaching list around the league? They're, like, Tom Pelissero put out a list this week of 22 people who've never been head coaches before, coordinators, position coaches. Slowick's name still shows up on that list. Slowick's name still shows up on every odds board fairly high up for jobs like New Orleans and the Jets that are open, or the Cowboys that everybody anticipates being open. This time a year ago, I would say Bobby Slowick's rating on a scale of 1 to 10 as a head coaching candidate was fairly high, I would guess. You know, probably like somewhere in the 7 or 8 range. Where do you think he is right now? Is he on the grid for a lot of these teams, do you think?
I think he's a person of interest. I think that everybody's waiting to see exactly how it'll play out, and then you look at the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think I know that with the Falcons especially, I'd heard that they were very impressed with him in the interviews. So I think any conversations he had in the offseason, probably he is such a bright guy, and I think the way he talks about football is like when I watch him in press conferences, it's the kind of stuff that an owner would want to hear. So I think they're going to be impressed with him in interviews. And so he occupies a space in their brain already, which is really, that's half the battle.
It is. You're right.
And now it's, all right, if the Texans, I mean, it could turn into a positive if the Texans really take off in the second half of the season, because then he's going to have a good story to tell about just what the challenges were, how they had to overcome them, all of that. So it's right now, I'd say unlikely that he gets a job offer in the offseason. But if they go on a tear offensively, it's almost I'm going to even feel better about it than if they had come in and just been a record-breaking offense right from the beginning. I think it would have been easier to dismiss it as saying, well, like, look at those receivers he's got, look at all this. But almost by not doing enough with them early on and then doing more with less later on, the narrative will be an easy one to sell.
It's a crowded field for openings this coming off season, especially if Bill Belichick wants back in, because Belichick's going to take one of the, you and I estimated yesterday that there would be seven or eight openings thereabouts, yeah. Right? I put the number at 6.5. You took the over, and we were able to talk ourselves into 7 that we feel really strongly could be open. If Belichick wants back in, he's getting one of those. I think if Vrabel wants back in, he's getting one of those. I think, yeah, Ben Johnson, if he picks this offseason to be the one where he actually takes a job, and I think there's, yeah, going to be some jobs out there that would fit the profile of one that he'll finally get off the pot here and take, he's, mm-hmm, getting one. I think Aaron Glenn's getting one if he wants a job. You know, that's if Deion Sanders, ooh, wants the Cowboy job. Like, we're up to 5 now.
You know what?
And you haven't even dipped into the non-Lions coordinators around the league yet.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn, I think by virtue of just, he's played in some notable nationally televised this game, and the, yes, and the Lions are the darling. And now Aaron's story, like the one, what he can talk to owners about, it's perfect, because he was part of this turnaround in Detroit, and he was also there when the defense had all kinds of issues.
That's
like,
right.
He's really had to build that defense over the course of several years.
Yes.
I think he's, if they continue doing what they're doing right now, the Lions, that he's got a really good shot. Like, that's the perfect, he's gonna have a good story to tell.
Well, it's a little, yeah, like what you were just talking about with Bobby, which was you have a story of overcoming some adversity,
yeah,
and how you,
yeah,
fixed it, you know. And I think those are stories that captains of industry, like business people, CEOs love those stories about, like, you were handed a problem, maybe some of the problems were self-inflicted and you had to figure some things, yeah, out about yourself, but they love stuff like that.
You know what you should do? You should have a nice little story, a backstory about yourself, like you grew up in a, you know, you grew up in a crack house or something like that. I don't know.
How do you,
I don't know,
know
what
I
you
didn't?
Were into when you were younger. I don't
tell
know.
You all the time about the hard scrabble streets I grew up on. Maybe I did grow up in a crack house.
I think sometimes
house.
People think you're being ironic because it's in the one of the wealthiest zip codes in America. you got to change that into, like, yeah, but you only live there because your dad was the caretaker for this mansion.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
The billionaire that owned it treated your dad like dirt all the time.
Right.
You know? Used to spit on, like, literally spit on the kids,
right?
And say you should be happier. You should be happy that a rich man is spitting
we
on you. That's what that rich man said every day.
We actually lived in the apartment above their 8-car garage.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was a 4-bedroom apartment above an 8-car garage. Can you even imagine?
Yeah. And you weren't even allowed, if the billionaire left one of his cars running in,
right,
the garage, you weren't even allowed to say anything about it because it might embarrass him. So you,
right,
just had to sleep up with the carbon monoxide.
So we just had to sleep with the carbon monoxide coming through,
yeah,
the vents. You know whose name is on this list Pelissero put out? Not just Bobby Slowick, Anthony Weaver, mm-hmm, who interviewed for a couple head coaching jobs last year. He got a couple second interviews for head coaching job. Weaver is somebody who would win the interview big time.
Yeah. No, and Weaver's fun too, because Weaver's another guy that I think he presents himself in a lot of ways. He's different personality than Vrabel or Campbell, yeah, or whatever, but I think he just gives off that aura of, like, all right, this is a man's man.
Yes.
And this is a guy who's a player, and he knows how to command the attention of all this. He's a leader of men, a haver of it, all that stuff, to where you don't, if the Dolphins defense continues to look, you know, more like what they want it to be, yeah, he's got a really good shot at it.
Yeah, I think
Weaver's
so.
Funny too, though, because as a player, Weaver was a classic. Like, Weaver was my kind of guy. Like, he could sniff out the BS. You know, like,
big
he
time,
wasn't
man.
In it. He wasn't in it for any of, like, the false bravado or anything,
no,
like that. Some of the stupid stuff that coaches do sometimes. Some coaches, like, he wasn't buying. He wasn't like gung ho Teddy Bruschi. I'll do any. I like him. He was an actual human being.
Especially because,
yeah,
he came over here. You played with him for a year. Especially because he came over here from the Ravens, where,
yeah,
that's just been a well oiled machine. He played for Rex Ryan over there. You know, he loved Rex. Loves Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We promised it. Thursday Night Football last night, we've got some amazing audio that came out of this game. This is about as good an outcome and as entertaining a Thursday night game as you're going to get, and it benefited the Texans big time last night. We will tell you why, and we'll let you hear Jameis coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team.
no matter what. Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
A Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Right, so far, so good this weekend. If you're the Houston Texans, you got the. They've had one game. There's been one game, Thursday Night Football, and the Browns upset the Steelers last night. So that's good. Steelers are 8-3 now. They're a game closer to you in the standings here. Seeding's going to matter down the stretch here, you know. And so
that and was, yeah, that's and good. Look, I think the Texans in that. Losing 3 out of 4 game doldrum, which, you know, we're not still 100% convinced that they're out of that doldrum. Right. The question became, all right, where can this team actually be taken seriously in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, is that okay? What you're going to make the playoffs because the division is so weak, most likely, but how are they going to fare? And the interesting thing about this week is it's one of the teams that, yes, they should be able to beat pretty handily, but they do face – they give you a huge challenge for one of the things that's your Achilles heel, which is their defensive line is a extreme strength for them versus the Texans' interior offensive line especially. Yep. That's the big battle this week. And that – man, even if the Texans have – usually if it's a blowout win versus a bad team, you might say, yeah, what did we really learn? I think you can still learn something even if it's a comfortable victory for the Texans.
Yeah, I think so too. I do wonder, you know, like the Texans came into the season as I think viewed as a dark horse Super Bowl contender. And I think when they got off to the 5-1 start, they were – I mean, we, you know, you and I look at the power rankings every week, and we know they're all subjective. but they are indicative of what people, how people are viewing the team. And they reached a point, they peaked at like being third and fourth and third and fifth and, you know, like on all the power rankings. Now they're like in the low teen, you know, they're 12, they're 13, which is great. You're in the upper third. You got six games left to prove yourself and get to the postseason. I wonder, is there anything they can do in the next 2 weeks that put themselves back in the conversation with teams like the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens and teams like that?
I think it has to be this week especially, because people do respect the Titans defense.
They
I
do.
Mean, that's the when people stop to think about the Titans, the general 20-second thing that you might have to say on a blurb on SportsCenter is that, hey, they've had issues with their quarterbacks, obviously, but the defense is actually playing really well. And it does, they, even without Legarius Sneed, who's been banged up for the last 6 weeks or so, it's just not necessarily reflected in the stats or the standings because the offense has been so bad. So if the offense can run the ball consistently and effectively, not Joe Mixon rushes for 15 yards on 10 carries and then breaks a long one.
Yeah.
Like, no, I want to see him like steadily churning out yardage versus this defense. Yeah, that's a genuine and honest sign of improvement.
If they hang 30 plus on this defense in a way that looks like week one against the Colts, where Mixon went for a buck 60, but his long run was 13. He was just churning out. He was getting 7 to 13 yards seemingly on every carry that he had.
Yeah.
And then CJ supplements that with 230, 240, 250 passing yards, and he's spreading it all over the place like he was against the Cowboys. I'm with you on that. That gets him probably like back in people's minds, maybe into the top 10 of teams out there in the NFL. I got a tweet from sent to me from my son Sammy, who is by far the biggest Jameis Winston fan that I know. I think Jameis might be his favorite player in the NFL. And it's a tweet from somebody named Maury480. But apparently, and you may have seen this, Seth, apparently last night the Browns were 0 for 9 on third down, but 4 for 4 on fourth down. And this guy says 0 for 9 on third down and 4 for 4 on fourth down is the most Jameis Winston stat ever.
It's going to be weird, man. Yeah. You're just signing on for a different experience. Yeah. You got to just let go of the boundaries,
That's what's
possible and what's not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Jameis. This was Jameis in the pregame last night.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
Feels like you're doing a live read for Huntington Bank. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
It feels like, I know. He painted a great image of what it's like at Huntington Bank Field.
Yeah.
Where you can get subprime rates and, I'm just so happy that I can get a 25-year interest-only loan on basically whatever is just a rental house that I'm in here
Huntington Bank
but maybe
Field.
Reap the tax advantages that Huntington Bank provided to me.
Where they reimburse your ATM fees at non-Huntington Bank ATMs. Can you imagine? Hey, let me ask you this real quick before we'll play.
And free checking. I'm so grateful to be standing here unencumbered by checking fees.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll play Jameis postgame in a second. The sideline reporter there, I think it was Kaylee Hartung. I think she does sidelines for Amazon. She said, we're expecting weather. Winds up to 15 miles an hour. What's the okay? Oh, I know. I know.
What, did you grow up in a vacuum?
I hear that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's. What is the number where you can use the winds up to ... Like,
I would say
it's way more than 15, right?
It might have hurt the gravity in the moment there, but I think in terms of accurately setting the picture, that was important because it wasn't gusting winds or anything.
Okay.
You know? So the 15 mile per hour,
it's
she should have said Yeah, she could have said, you know, only gentle winds or something like that. Yeah,
winds
up to 15 miles per hour. She could have. Yeah. What am I going to do? Criticize somebody for not coming up with the perfect phrasing?
Just asking what the number is, because she was. I thought she was making it sound like it was going to be really windy out
like
there.
Like bitter and awful. Yeah,
like winds up to 15 miles an hour, and I hear that, I'm like, ooh, oh, 15.
I'll give credit for Jameis for understanding that it wasn't going to be an awful.
Right.
It wasn't awful weather conditions.
Yeah.
It was snow. But it was like a picture-perfect, gentle snow that it looked like it affected the field conditions. And the visibility and everything is obviously a lot tougher. But it didn't feel like an ugly game.
I think the number – I'm establishing this rule now. I think the number is 30 miles per hour.
30 miles per hour?
Yes, okay. If you're trying to use that phrase to illustrate winds that are game-affecting, then 30 is the lowest number I'll allow you to use with winds up to blah, 30 miles per hour. Here's Jameis after the game. Giving credit to the people behind the scenes. This is just Jameis Winston doing Jameis Winston, man. Who was the most important element? Who was the most important person or people to this win? The people with the cleat scrapers.
Well, I think it's just one play at a time, man. I'm so grateful for our equipment staff for providing us with hand warmers, providing us with our cleat scrapers, so we're able to go out there and do the best we can to make it seem as easy as it possibly is. But as you can see, the conditions did not define our result today.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, with the equipment staff either.
That's good
audio,
man.
They met a challenge. I do. I always like it when they pay their respects to like either the equipment staff or, I don't know, the boss's secretary, whomever it might be. Like, yeah, it's like, that's either you genuinely feel that or it's next level faking it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, with Jameis, it feels like that's his genuine outlook on life these days is, hey, I'm going to build up everybody I can. I'm just going to try to, you know, I'm genuinely going to make everybody feel special, and I take it at face value. So good for him.
Yes.
That's a great attitude to have.
Someone on the text page, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, says Jameis sounds like a future preacher. Yeah, he does.
Oh, no, like, no, yeah, it's 100%. His whole vibe is like, you know, country preacher, you know.
And he's been, the cuts we've played today, he's been at like a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 for what Jameis is capable of preaching-wise. Like
that, his oratory style is that, right?
It's very
like,
gripping.
Unless I'm missing something, like, yeah, this is a country preacher.
Yes.
This is somebody just feeling it and letting go, yeah.
It's engrossing, there's no doubt, yeah. So good job, Jameis, last night. Here was Myles Garrett. How about this? Myles Garrett in the postgame saying, like, this is I don't know if it's a shot at T.J. Watt, but basically saying, this is my house.
Coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there, and, you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. And, you know, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy, so that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, you know, you can throw that out the window. I'm gonna find a way.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, I don't. You know what, man? The more I hear it, I don't like defensive linemen trying to get into power ranking and ego battles with other defensive linemen. Nobody suggested it. Right? I cannot remember a time where I've heard an edge rusher make it a me versus that guy type of thing. Not quite like that. So I just still, my grumpy old defensive line sentiments there are kind of like, ah, all right. I guess something you could say, I suppose.
You know Myles Garrett is not even on the board right now for defensive player of the year odds?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's not, I'm looking at the top 10 right now. He's not there. TJ Watt is a prohibitive favorite right now. Going into last night, minus 160. The next closest player for defensive player of the year is Chris Jones of Kansas City, 11-1. 11-1. There's a couple Texans. Will Anderson Jr. is still hanging on the periphery at 25-1, which honestly, like this time last year, that's about where he was for defensive rookie of the year. And then he had that surge at the end. Now, this is a harder group to, there's like 9 names he's got to go beat to get up there, back up there in the conversation. Like Danielle Hunter's right there too at 30.
I think the thing is, I think Myles Garrett does, because of the way they use him and because of just how talented he is, I think he's more of a physical one-on-one, crap, he could beat 2 of our dudes. And and the Browns treat him like that. Like they say, no, you go out and earn, you go out and do this. We're not necessarily going to do things via scheme to help you out. The way the Steelers defense as a whole operates really well, and it does a good job getting guys singled up or getting them opportunities more so than the way the Browns operate. So I can see where Myles Garrett either frustration comes from, because it's just, but that's also, that's football.
Yeah.
That's your circumstances, your circumstance.
TJ's the favorite right now. You know what? I have a TJ and JJ question I want to ask you in the next segment, and we got to get our final thoughts in here on the Titans and the Texans, and we got to get the Seth Payne prediction. You've been on a roll on your predictions. If you're looking to back somebody who's been pretty accurate on these scores and the types of the games the Texans have been playing, stay tuned for the next segment. Seth, I'll give mine too. Seth will give his prediction, and we'll get on the record. That's coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. All right, before I get to my J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt question I had for you, Seth, you got a shout out you got to give here, brother.
Oh, well, no, I was going to work it in organically to something, because I didn't want to make it seem selfish or anything. But no, my sister-in-law's volleyball team, the Portville Panthers, who's won, I think Kelly has won like 6 state championships. I might be underestimating it there.
She's
right
like
now.
The Nick Saban of volleyball.
Yeah, they are a dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They just destroy people, but they're headed into their however many times they've won it. State championship tournament this weekend.
That's awesome.
And Brandy's been helping out with the setters this year, so okay. Her young setter Addie has been playing very well. The entire team's been playing very well. It's the only team I've ever cheered for, Sean, that's just been absolutely dominant. And I get to, and
life.
I take on all the cockiness of those girls. There's a lot riding on those girls' shoulders.
Do you?
But they go in and they get every game, like against these teams that they're in, they get to a point, like right around 15 points or so, where the opponent just buckles.
Yeah.
Like they just, they've never been in these moments the same way the Portville Panthers have been in these moments.
Yeah.
And the Portville Panthers' confidence just takes over. And they just start, they've got all the, it's a small school, but they've got like 19 different girls that can hit. And they just hit and hit and hit. And it's a steady barrage of bombs.
I can tell,
it overcomes the opponent.
I'm looking at you right now. If you're not watching on YouTube, Seth is coming with great ferocity on the Portville Panthers here.
It's the only thing I have any self-esteem about anymore.
Yeah.
Is the Portville Panthers.
So do they have haters? Are they that good that they have haters?
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't hear any of it. What do I care? I'm not going to bend down and then care about the opinion of the sheep.
Just wondering if you defend them on social media from the haters. That's all.
Oh, no, I should. I should start going into.
That's a sign of a true fan right there.
Nothing like says fandom like a 49-year-old man torching some, owning some clown 15-year-old on Facebook.
Over a bunch of teenage girls. Okay, well, good luck to them, man. Good luck to to Portville. That's awesome. So here's my TJ JJ question. I think JJ Watt at his peak was arguably the best player in all of football. And a 3-time defensive player of the year. Does TJ Watt ever get to a point where he's considered the better football player than JJ Watt, like the better resume or the where he's higher up historically in the food chain? He's been a 1-time defensive player of the year. These are just his accolades. 4-time first team all pro.
Yeah.
1-time second team all pro. So in terms of the number of all pro seasons, he's right there with JJ. He might have more Pro Bowls only because JJ with the injuries didn't. He only made, I think, 5 Pro Bowls because he only had 5 fully healthy seasons as a player.
I think what it would look at is that Super Bowls kind of changed the public perception of all of it. If they end up winning 2 Super Bowls while TJ Watt's there, then it's going to be a whole different conversation.
Yes, yes.
As far as how people view the individual player, I think that it would be a matter of, okay, very, very few players in NFL history have had a 4 or 5 year stretch that JJ did.
Correct.
Where it was unbelievable how productive he was and how he impacted things. Where with TJ, it'll be more of a, like, I don't want to call him a compiler because that's an insult, but it'd be more impressive over a long stretch of time of relative health. If availability is the best ability, then TJ's got him on that one.
It's a really interesting debate because I feel like part of JJ would, like, the I feel like, I know they're competitive because they're brothers and things like that, but there's, I feel like there's part of JJ that would actually go on the air somewhere and make an argument for TJ being better than him. You know, like,
he's
got that kind of relationship with him. It's just interesting because I feel like if I were playing in a Super Bowl and I needed one of the, you can pick one of the two of them at their peak, I'm picking JJ Watt because at his peak, he might have been the best football player on the planet. And yet it's really interesting how TJ is starting to pile up the accolades to where his resume looks extremely similar to JJ's resume.
No, and I think I think most people, you know, I think most people, if you could look in hindsight and say, all right, would you take this, would you take that? Yeah. You look at TJ, and now it's been seven seasons, and he only had 1 year in 2022 where he missed a bunch of time due to injury.
Yep.
So he's just been very, very durable.
Yeah.
So that part of it, if you're going to pay somebody, for how many games are you going to get out of him? TJ's been more valuable in that regard.
And TJ's been a really good player throughout his career, but like JJ burst onto the, after his rookie year, really at the end of his rookie year, like he was defensive player of the year his second year in the league. You know, TJ, it was, 5 years in before he got his. They're both great players. I just think it's really interesting how similar the resumes are starting to become with TJ being a likely defensive player of the year winner.
I tell you, the other thing about JJ was that he played all 16 games his first five seasons. And so, I mean, it was 2011 through 2015. It was, it ended up being four straight all-pro seasons. But then just from 2016 through 2022, he really only had three full seasons in a 8-season period.
Yeah, in some ways, the 2018 season for JJ, to me, is his most impressive because he'd missed almost all of the previous two seasons with various ailments. Like, he was like Humpty Dumpty getting put back together again. He had a back and a hand and obviously the tibial plateau injury that he suffered. And he came back to being all pro. Yep, for sure. All right, so this game on Sunday, Titans, Texans, spread was down to 7.5 earlier this morning. So it's started at 9, it's been coming down, so it presumably money is coming in on the Titans here, which my prediction is actually has the Texans covering the spread, but I would not bet this game myself if I were. I think the Texans are going to win 27-13. I think they'll get some things together. They'll continue to look improved offensively, even though this is a good Titans defense. I just think the Titans offense is going to put the defense behind the eight ball a little bit. You know, I don't know how sustainable, I don't know how many drives Will Levis is going to be able to sustain against this Texans defense.
Yeah, and I feel very good about the Texans defense versus the Titans offense. I do think that the Titans are capable of unleashing one big play, one big hit against that Texans defense with or without Kamara. Lassiter's probably going to play, so it's not going to be like it was last week. But I think the Texans defense is going to get at least one interception. They're probably going to win the turnover battle. I don't feel so hot about the Texans offense, and it's because this Titans defense is really good, and I think their defensive line is a lot more like the Detroit Lions defensive line in that front seven, to where the physical battles are going to be a lot tougher this week than they were last week versus the Cowboys, and it's going to look a lot more like that Lions game. So I expect there to be at least one deep strike to Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried that the Texans aren't going to move the ball at all. But I was struggling. I had started off wanting to make it 27-13.
Hey, that's my prediction.
I know. But as I was going along, and I kind of just tried to envision exactly, how Bobby's going to call this game the challenge
is. It would have been funny if you were like, that was going to be my prediction. Then I saw it was yours, and I'm like, I'm not following that guy.
I know. I'm really excited to see how the interior offensive line does versus this Titans team.
Yep.
But they got to prove it to me first. So I think 24-13.
24. Okay. So you got them covering. So, and it's an under also.
So you
got another under here. Seth's been really, really good on predicting the game flow and you've been on the right side of the total. I think You started doing predictions in the nine, like the last segment prediction has been a staple since like week three or four.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on the right side of the total, I think, every single time. I think you're, I think if you were to bet the total based on your score,
yeah,
I think you're at least like 7-1, if not 8-0, probably doing.
Yeah,
this.
I try to. This is my technique. I watch some games, mm-hmm. and then I listen to and read people who are much, much smarter than me.
That's smart.
And then I just kind of let it all seep in. And then I'm just a simple idiot, you know. No. But I just kind of let it. I let it come to me, and I let my intuition be guided by all of these super smart people.
Yeah.
I just let it flow into me, and I become the barometer for whether to take the over or the under.
By definition, you following all those smart people to do something that makes money makes you smart. So you're one of those smart people by following mm-hmm. the smart people. Text message 5 hour energy fan line. What's the update with Will Anderson? He's been practicing. The expectation
he's been practicing.
Is he's going to play, I think.
I don't know. I've heard some other people. It was a podcast. It was, Locked On Texans. John there, I think, was, when they recorded it, he was skeptical that Will Anderson was going to play. But I don't know when they recorded that, if it was before the day they practiced or not. So I'm pretty optimistic he's going to play. There's at least, you know, it's not 100% slam dunk.
Right. I'm guessing he'll be listed as questionable. When the injury report, because the last injury report of the week gives the designation for the game on Sunday, I'm guessing Will Anderson will be limited again today, listed as questionable for the game, and then I will predict he'll play on Sunday in a limited capacity, like he did last year at home against the Titans when he came back from an ankle injury and had 2 sacks on 12 snaps.
Right. And the Titans' right tackle has been a revolving door. That's been a real problem spot for them. So Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter or just anybody, really, Derek Barnett, whenever they're lined up over that right offensive tackle, that's where the real magic can happen.
Yep.
J.C. Latham, the draft pick, has been playing well, but he's still a rookie too, so opportunities there.
Yep. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula, they are in the house. They are in the loop, and they're joining us here. John is choosing violence today. He's got a Houston Oilers.
You're darn right,
what looks like a Houston Oilers like sideline reporter jacket kind of thing. It looks like it's team issued.
It is. Early 90s, I did pregame show. And
like members only straps up on the shoulders.
Yeah. Early 90s, I did pregame and halftime show for the Spanish language network.
Oh, cool.
So they gave us all these jackets of course I had to wear it.
So man.
Of course. It's our history, Ames.
Send a message. Yeah, yeah.
Ames.
Stop hoording our colors.
Exactly. Look at Figgy. He bought one. He bought a starter jacket.
Figgy's got the old school starter jacket on. Like all light blue. You just got like a black jacket on with the logo on there. Figgy's going.
This one is.
Figgy's choosing heavy violence.
This one is from the team.
Yeah.
From
our
team.
Yep.
Back in the day.
How you feeling, Reggie?
Decidedly Oiler jersey or Oiler stuff.
Yeah, you're gonna, I mean, they play them again in week 18.
I'll be ready by then.
Bandwagon.
Yeah, for sure.
That's one of the best things you could do as a new athlete on a Houston team, wearing an old Oilers throwback anything.
Oh, yes.
That'll get you a lot of love.
Yeah.
You walk into the game on Sunday morning wearing an old Earl Campbell jersey or something like that. People get into that.
That's the equivalent of like when a wrestler goes to an arena and he's like, yeah, it's great to be right here in Houston, Texas. And then the crowd goes crazy.
He knows the name of the city.
Yeah, who was the one that I saw last week? That's exactly what it is.
That's us.
Yeah, that's us talking about our city, in our arena. It was Za'Darius Smith. Before his first game as a Lion, mm-hmm. he walked into the stadium wearing an old school Rasheed Wallace Pistons jersey. I'm like, come on, bro, you had a Rasheed Wallace jersey in your closet.
I have a strong feeling, based on the ways Za'Darius Smith plays, that he has a great respect for Rasheed Wallace.
I buy that. Now, I'm not buying that he just happened to have a jersey hanging in his closet. But
it's smart, man.
It's smart.
Really, it's really, really smart.
It's super smart. All right, fellas, we're gonna let you.
I had to go into the attic for this one.
You did?
Yeah.
How big's your attic at that house?
Huge.
You got there. Is it really?
Yeah, huge. Yeah. It's one of the.
Do you hoard a lot of stuff?
No. But we've kept most of our winter stuff up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stuff you get to use like 1 month out of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Is your attic insulated?
Yes. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you just bring this out yearly? Is that what happens?
Pretty much.
For these two games, right?
For these two games. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys have this thing. Oh, wait. No, we still got like a minute here. Now we'll just let you guys have
that
it.
Was like the, I was, the obligation there.
No. Well, I was looking up. I thought it said 9:59 before. And so it's all right, man. I drank last night.
You catch the one time you choose to get out on time.
I blame Ross Tucker. I was out with Ross Tucker last.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, you're completely free on that.
He's doing the Texans game on
Sunday.
Yes,
he is. Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. He's always so good with you fine fellas, so
thank
I love
you. I appreciate that. Much appreciated. All right, we will get out of here.
You want to do a Mayo read real quick? Just to
Mayo game day, be delicious. Yeah, did a few of those last night. Seth, antibodies, and see you for Texans countdown at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, morning. Antibodies, and let's do it. It's on you, interior offensive line.
Yeah.
Watching you. I don't even know what's going to go on in the game. I just want to see you guys perform.
I got eyes on you, Scruggs. All right.
Sounds aggressive.
You're
listening. That did sound a little aggressive.
You're listening. Hey, listen, buddy, but not the good kind of
cowboy.
Buddy. Yeah, the bucko. Shade kind of buddy. Yeah bucko. All right, we're done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2, an Odyssey station.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.